listening to the only daily talk show in North America covering the world of football. This is World Football Daily.
Yes, 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 yes! It hits the back of the net! Oh my goodness me!
The world's game.
Oh, you're beautiful! What a head, son! What a head!
Our religion.
Brilliant goal! What an equalizer!
Our passion.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
World Football Daily serves up the best football talk 5 days a week.
Oh! You will never, ever see a game quite like this! Unbelievable!
Will there be tears in Turin tonight? Juventus could drop out of the Champions League if they don't get a win away at Galatasaray this evening. United's saving grace has been European football this season, but who will be joining them from Group A, Donetsk or Bayer Leverkusen? We will find out tonight. And of course, on a busy night of Champions League football, we'll look ahead to some of the big ties, including Bayern Munich against Manchester City, PSG against Benfica, and Olympiacos against Anderlecht. There's plenty to be decided. We're talking about it all here on World Football Daily. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of the show. I am Oliver the Juice Wilson, bringing you the news and the many views from around the world of football. We're going to be talking all things Champions League today. It's nice to be back in the usual routine, finally. Rafa, back in the producer role of his normal, and I get to chat to the guests, which I'm very much looking forward to getting back on with again, because the big thanks, as I said, to everybody that helped me out over the awkward period that we had. But at the same time, I do thoroughly enjoy getting down and dirty with our guests here on World Football Daily, and it was something I very much missed, although I have to say Rafa did a stellar job despite the few, I guess, pops and knocks that he used to throw in every so often that would come my way. And no doubt doing the same thing again yesterday with Jeff Carlisle. Almost expected that one coming. But big thanks to Jeff for yesterday for joining us here on World Football Day, talking about the MLS Cup final. Was it the right team that won? Let us know your thoughts still about the big game from the weekend from Major League Soccer. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-909-8483. It's the rant line, the Facebook page as well. We have, of course, the off-season beginning in Major League Soccer, and there are plenty of changes in these sides, options being taken out on contracts, being trying to catch up with some of the Major League Soccer action that's been coming in the boardrooms, if you will, as the postseason begins and players are getting eligible for the MLS draft and redraft. And of course, there is also as well the poor players that are being losing out on their contracts and being forced to look for work elsewhere in Major League Soccer and around US soccer in general. Will there be any graduates from Major League Soccer as well this year moving across to the big time, to Europe? And of course, this season marking the finale of a great career of Alessandro Nesta, one of the icons of Italian football, especially of Italian defending, almost took the mantle on from the great Paolo Maldini, who took that mantle on from Baresi as well, from that great AC Milan defence, and the great defence that's continued down the years until maybe the last few, where they've become an absolute pile of you-know-what. And it's a very sad moment indeed to have him retire. Alessandro Del Piero continues to kick a ball about down in Australia, though some of these great Italian icons still clinging on, and we're going to be talking about that. And of course, Juventus' chances this week in the Champions League, and Napoli's as well, of going through from that group of death. And I'm delighted to say that our man to talk all things Italian football about Serie A and Champions League is a man who's probably got a big smile on his face today after a great win for Roma on the weekend that finally ends their run of four draws. Joining me on World Football Daily today, an expert in all things calcio, he's a man from Calcio and Coffee and a great sports commentator as well, and a man who I was lucky enough to hear a bit of his work over the weekend as well. Delighted to say that joining me now, Mr. Richard Whittle, Serie A commentator. Richard, a pleasure to have you back on board, mate. How have you been over the last few weeks? It's been a long time since we had you on, my man.
Great. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, as you say, very happy and just really, really pleased with where Serie A is going in general this season.
Well, it's nice, A, to not have too much corruption flying about the place, especially as England starts to pick up that gauntlet, pick up that baton, so to speak, and run with it in terms of football corruption. And your side, Roma, getting back to winning ways this weekend. A number of key players kind of back to full fitness and back in the squad, but still a huge win against a Fiorentina side that have impressed a lot this season.
Well, it was a vital win. You have to say that Fiorentina and Roma, they're probably playing the best technical football in Serie A this season so far. I was at the stadium and commentated the match. It was a joy to commentate from both sides. The players were out there just to play football, and a real tactical and technical game of the highest level. And for Roma, as I said, vital, vital win, because it kept the pressure up on Juventus, and it gave the club a lift again after, as you said, it was four draws in a row there, and slight question marks about maybe can Roma sustain their early season form, but they certainly showed it on Sunday.
And getting Mattia Destro back playing and scoring a winner, no better way for him to be returning to this Roma side, is it?
Well, you've got to say it's inspired substitution from Rudy Garcia. And he had on the bench, of course, Francesco Totti was back. He was never going to come on. He only has about 10 minutes in his legs at the moment. And Marco Borriello as well was on the bench recovering from an ankle injury. So he could have gone to him, but he went. He took the decision to go to bring on Destro in front of the two more experienced players, and paid off, and it's given Destro, of course, a massive confidence boost, and the whole team a massive confidence boost, because they weren't scoring goals. They were drawing 1-1, 0-0 against Cagliari, so there were question marks over where the goals were going to come from. But now with those three players back and fit for the second half of the season, we've got two more matches to go before the end of the end of the year, and then the start of the new year, it's Juventus-Roma. So Roma look in a very good position, although they do have a difficult game next Monday away to Milan, and despite Milan's poor performances so far this season, it's always difficult to get a win there. So overall, it's looking up for Roma. The fans are in good heart down in the capital. They had their Christmas party last night. There's talk about the new stadium. And they've got the American owners who have brought all that typical American positivity, if you like to use that word, around the club. It's such a massive change from May, and when they lost the Italian Cup final against you-know-who.
Yeah, it's incredible the kind of bounce back since that Coppa Italia final loss to Lazio that Roma have been on this season. Against Fiorentina in particular, we've spoken about the defensive stability that this Roma side have had, and obviously still, conceded four goals, I think it is, this season at the moment. But they're also still maintaining that incredible attacking flair that Zdenek Zeman was able to bring in. Do you think it is almost like, Richard, they've taken the best points that Zdenek Zeman tried to bring into this side and just basically added an armoured shell defence around it?
Well, certainly. And Roma have always been noted for a plain attacking football. But what Rudy Garcia has brought is that pragmatic approach, which Zeman just does not have. If you remember when Zdenek Zeman was in charge, you had all the players bar two central defenders lining up on the halfway line if Roma had the kickoff, and getting into the opposition half straight away. With Rudy Garcia, he knows that he's got the players going forward, but his approach is he will allow the opposition to have the ball, and then defence comes first, it's safety first. We saw it at the weekend with Castan and Benetia. When the ball was down by the corner flag, they just kicked it into touch and they got everybody back into defence. And I think the difference is, they've been able to Rudy Garcia has really been able to bring a more pragmatic approach to Roma's usual attacking style. And certainly that's been a success this season so far.
Are you impressed as well the fact that Roma, they've gone through this slightly awkward stage of four draws on the bounce now after winning those first 10 games of the season and that incredible start? Do you get the feeling that this it was a real sign that they're almost over a hump, so to speak, and that was a dodgy spell that they're coming out of the end of now? Or are these next couple of games going into Christmas going to be very important to seeing have they actually got that those draws and are back to the winning ways after not just one game, but maybe a couple more?
Well, if you think that those matches, the four draws, that came on the back of 10 victories, which is an Italian league record, which is incredible in itself, and that should be applauded. Then they came up against defensive teams such as Torino, Chievo, Atalanta, Sassuolo, who sat back and forced Roma to come forward and play in their half and tried to basically find a way through. They missed a lot of chances in those matches as well, and that's where the proven goal scorer is missing. Against Fiorentina don't play like that. They play an open game, so Roma could sit back and play their favoured counter-attacking game for part of the match, so they weren't forced into using up a lot of energy to continue to attack. So they had moments where they could sit back and look at the strategy of the opposition against those other teams. They knew what they were playing against, a wall of basically 10 defenders with the opposition looking to get that one goal to really put the pressure on Roma. So you can never say that they've overcome that, because teams in the lower reaches of the table are going to play like that against them. What will be interesting to see if they can go to Milan and the San Siro and come away with a victory there. If they come away with a victory there, the feeling is, yes, they can really push forward now and go into, against Catania, or bottom of the table, and we'll be bottom of the table, whatever happens at the end of the weekend. So they're on 9 points, and victory there have set themselves up nicely for Juventus. So I think these two games are very crucial for Roma's season. But of course, where Rudy Garcia, as I said before, he says, as long as we're not losing, I cannot be disappointed with the team. And he's absolutely right. If you look also around him, Napoli are dropping points, Inter are dropping points. They beat Fiorentina. And there is a gap between those teams, plus Juve and the rest of the league. And at the moment, you've got to say those five teams are vying for the Champions League places.
And Rudy Garcia as well, I've just seen on your Twitter before we were speaking, actually, named the French coach of 2013, mainly in part to his time at Roma. I mean, Rudy Garcia, he's not the youngest coach in the world, obviously, but he's not old by any stretch of the imagination either, and obviously doesn't look too old either down there on the dugout, and he's not getting any grey hairs by Roma's performances. I mean, Roma have chopped and changed with managers a fair bit over the last few years or so. Do you see now Rudy Garcia being very much, obviously the great start helps, but embedded into this Roma side, and now we're going to see a real air of stability off the pitch as well as on it?
There has to be. At the beginning, the new owners come in and they wanted to clear out the old guard, if you like, and they will acknowledge that, you know, it was a learning process for them. And, you know, in the beginning, it was Luis Enrique, and there were high hopes with him, but his style of football just didn't suit the Italian league. Then they bowed to pressure and brought back Zdeněk Zeman. It worked for a little while, but then that fell apart. Now, definitely with Rudy Garcia, he just seems, as you say, he's 49, but, you know, he looks like he's 10 years younger than that. And so... But he's also got that old head, that experienced head. And he has won the French league as well, playing a similar style. Lille, I've watched Lille a couple of times this season just to get the gauge if they play the same way as they did under Rudy Garcia. And that seems to be the way, where they break quickly and they force sides. There could be a quick break on here and we could be in trouble. So certainly... His approach has changed things completely. Also, the owners under James Palotta, he's got the plan set out with a new stadium. You want the stability with a new coach. Been fortunate that they've found a coach who is level-headed, is not getting carried away, because Rome is a city where you are either in the stars or you're down in the gutter. There's no in-between. Mm. And just gauging the atmosphere down there. At the moment, it's... it's positive, but they're not getting carried away. So Rudy Garcia's is certainly, his approach is rubbing off also on the fans at the moment. So certainly I think whatever happens this season, and you know, I expect Roma to be up there in the top three. It's been a wonderful return, and it's not going to happen. Maybe they won't win the league, but certainly if they're back, a major step forward.
Now, of course, Richard, if they do make those Champions League spots next season, you're going to be having one of these nervy nights, like I'm sure tonight will be for Napoli fans, for Milan fans, and of course for Juventus fans. Napoli fans and Milan fans, of course, will be nervy nights tomorrow, but midweek in general, Champions League football, and the Italian clubs, none of them secure of their place yet in the knockout stages. Let's kick off the Champions League discussion with... and try and get it out of the way, and don't be too cruel, Richard. AC Milan, they need to get a result against Ajax to ensure their pass through to the Champions League knockout round, and it didn't go well for Allegri at the weekend. Rumours of him absolutely going balmy and bonkers at his side in the dressing room at half time, insisting that they don't go in with into this Ajax game this week with a loss on the weekend. They're able to get a draw thanks to Balotelli, but Milan in tatters at the moment. Do you rate them highly to get past Ajax and to get through into the next round, Richard?
I think, yeah, definitely. When you're talking about the Champions League, European football, Milan are a completely different beast from the woes that they've had in the week in, week out in Serie A, where everyone's out to beat them, of course. Not the fallen giants, but a little bit off the pace at the moment. They still can't be underestimated in the league either, Milan. And certainly in the Champions League, they went to Celtic and they won pretty easily there at Celtic. And they give Barcelona two good games over two legs. They'll probably look back at that match, the first leg in Amsterdam, where they let things slip. They were in control of the match, and they missed a lot of chances. Ajax took the lead, and then they were fortunate to get that penalty in the last minute. But Milan have been in these situations before in Europe. You also remember against Ajax as well. They were almost out when the season that they in 2003 when they won the Champions League, they were almost out to Ajax and came through. But I feel that at home, in Europe, they're a completely different team. They don't need to win the match as well. It could be a draw and they would go through, but they want to win it. I think this could be a turning point in the season for Milan to get through in Europe, stay in the Champions League, hang in there in the league, and then regroup in the new year. You know, there's been a lot of problems with injuries as well, lack of form from some players. And Allegri's done very well, I think, just over the last couple of seasons. If you think how many of the great stars have left the club, and the rebuilding program hasn't been the best. The players that have come in haven't been at the highest quality, apart from, of course, Mario Balotelli. And the return of Ricky Kaká and those two players, I think that's the stage is set for them. They love the big stage. And I think I'm very confident that Milan will go through, and I think with a victory as well.
It's you talk about the kind of great legends that have been through Milan there and that have parted ways with the club. And one of those players, Alessandro Nesta, obviously Major League Soccer finishing this weekend, and that is the end of the final season of for Alessandro Nesta, who will be retiring. Just quickly, Richard, because you're obviously an expert when it comes to Italian football history as well. How does Nesta stand up against some of those greats, not just of the Milan defences, but of Italian football defending in general? You talk about Baresi passing the mantle on down to Maldini, Maldini then on to Nesta. I mean, does Nesta stand up with those iconic legends, and how tall is he compared to them?
Well, I think if Alessandro Nesta didn't have all those injury problems he had, which blighted his career, you know, with World Cups, missing out during the World Cups, being injured for a long time at Milan, he would be up there with the greats such as Baresi and Maldini, probably just a little bit below them. But that's not taking anything away from Nesta. He's still one of the legends of the modern game in Italy, both for Milan and also for the national team. It's just a pity that the injuries really... He probably would have been a greater player if it wasn't for those injuries. But at the same time, you think, well, won the championship, Champions League with Milan, captain of Lazio, of course, an absolute great. And the battle back from those injuries as well. And I remember, what was it, just about two seasons ago when Milan played Barcelona. And he basically marked Messi out of the game. And he was 34. He's coming back from long-term back injury. And it just showed his sheer class, bringing the ball out of defence. Didn't score a lot of goals going forward, but either did Paolo Maldini. But just one of the classiest defenders of the modern era. Like I said, it's just a pity about all the injuries that he suffered.
Let's get back, Richard, to the Champions League and the other two games coming up for the Italian sides this week. Tonight, Galatasaray host Juventus. Juventus, I mean, in theory, any three of these sides, Copenhagen, Galatasaray, Juventus, can join Madrid. Juventus are in the driving seat and just need a result against Galatasaray. And to obviously, if they draw, hope that Madrid don't stumble against Copenhagen. Is it nervy times for Juve going into tonight, or will they be confident of going to Turkey and grabbing and ensuring that they get their place?
I think they'll be very confident. Italian sides in Europe, away from home, they know how to close things up. And really, like the fans in Istanbul are going to play a big part. But Gigi Buffon said, "I've never seen a fan score a winning goal in a football match," and he's absolutely right. Juve will go out there, and I think they'll go out there pretty hard. They'll go out there, try to get a goal early on, and really impose their will on them, on Galatasaray. Of course, they've got to be aware of defensive errors, which they've made, unfortunately, in Europe this year against all the teams that they've played against. Twice against Copenhagen, they made mistakes. They made mistakes against Galatasaray in the first leg when they could have easily have won that match. They made a couple of mistakes against Real Madrid, but they played Real Madrid and it was pretty even both games. And if you remember, in the first leg, Juve were down to 10 men. So they're also probably, they've put out of their mind, I know that they're thinking, well, why are we in this position? We should already be through. So they've really got to really do a good job this evening. But I'm confident that Juve can come away with a result, be it a win or a draw. And I feel they're going to score over there, that's for sure.
Was it a big wake-up call for Juventus, that loss to Fiorentina? Since then, a seven-game winning run in Serie A. And, of course, Champions League football has picked up in performances as well in that time period. Has that been quite a catalyst for them?
Absolutely. That was the moment when Antonio Conte got the players together again, and he gave one of his famous speeches, as he did last season, where he told them, last season, we've got to win the league. That's it. There's no other. You've got no other option. And they did. This time he's told them, well, some of you are starting to get big-headed. If you think you're big-headed, you're out the door at Juventus. Players took that on board, of course. And as you said, they went on that amazing run. So I think they probably needed that moment. It was one of those days. I was actually at the match commentating. And it was one of those days where it didn't seem likely. It looked like as if Fiorentina were completely out of the contest. And then suddenly they got a goal. And for the first time ever, I've seen the Juventus looking almost shell-shocked. And I doubt that will happen again this season. I'd be very surprised if it does after that the barracking that Antonio Conte gave his players. But I think it wasn't just a barracking. He just told them, this is what it means to play for Juventus. You never let your standards drop, and you've seen since then that they're now 3 points at the top of the league. They've got a good run into Christmas as well, and this evening, great chance to go through to the knockout stage of the Champions League.
And finally, Richard, sorry, we've held you for far too long. I'm sorry to say that, but I need to ask you about Napoli against Arsenal, because the group of death has been so entertaining in the Champions League. It's thrown up some thrills and some spills. Napoli against Arsenal in Naples. You'd think it's stacked in Benitez's favour. Arsenal, though, are still in great form, and no one's expected them to be this good so far this season. Napoli, what do they need to do to ensure they get the result that gets them through to the knockout stages?
Well, Napoli's problem of late has been conceding goals. If you look at it against Udinese, they had the game under control and then they give away three goals. They've had problems in defence. Going forward, they're very fluid. They create a lot of chances. Higuain has been in excellent form. And I think when they take the pitch at the San Paolo, it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. It's a great European night. Whatever happens, you know, really something to play for, of course. And they'll have be looking at also Dortmund could go out as well. And Napoli have to go, I think, from the first whistle, go out there very early on and get a couple of goals on the score sheet, as Arsenal did in the first leg, because Napoli are always going to concede goals. That is their problem. So it's going to be one of those situations where they've got to go out on all-out attack early on, get a couple of early goals, and then the game, well, it could go, at least they'll be in front, because I feel they're going to concede. But again, hoping that they just score one more goal than Arsenal do.
It will be a very entertaining night indeed in Naples tomorrow night. We all look forward to that. And Richard, we look forward to your return as well onto World Football Daily, man. We always like enjoy having you on the show and having a good old chinwag about all things Serie A. But we will let you go and get yourself sorted, I'm sure, for a very busy night of Italian football action in the Champions League this evening, mate. Thank you so much for joining us today, though.
Yeah, no problem. And I wish all Serie A fans in the States a good festive period. And we'll see you all again in 2014.
And we all look forward to the return of Serie A after the winter break as well. That's for sure. Richard, man, take care. Enjoy tonight. And we'll catch up with you very soon indeed, man. Have a very good Christmas if we don't speak to you before then.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers. Richard Whittle there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Serie A football and having a chat about the Champions League action tonight. Napoli, Dortmund or Arsenal, one of them will be leaving the Champions League this year, and such a shame it will be to lose one of those great sides. We love having a group of death like this with great teams in it, but it's also a shame to see two sides going up. You can't have your cake and eat it as well. Will Juventus be trying to have their cake and eat it as well as they go to Galatasaray to try and pick up the 3 points that will secure them a place in the next round of the Champions League? Real Madrid already booking their place in Group B. Big thanks to Richard there for joining us here on World Football Daily, taking a look at the Serie A weekend and, of course, Italian clubs' hopes in the Champions League coming up this week. And, in fact, tonight, of course, Juventus taking on Galatasaray in a very, very big game for them. Second place in that group, Group B, well and truly wide open, while Real Madrid continue to destroy everything, or almost everything, in their path in the Champions League. Juve, Galatasaray and Copenhagen can all secure a spot in the knockout stages, which means we're going to have Juventus or Galatasaray going. And Rafa, mate, isn't that a bit of a shame? Because you'd have liked to have seen, hopefully, both of these two sides going through rather than maybe an Olympiacos or a Benfica or something like that, right?
I would tend to agree there. The Group C people, in general, aside from PSG, are really disappointing this season. I gave you a little dig yesterday in the interview I did. I'm not sure what
you know. I've got used to these. This is one thing, yeah. I've noticed with your interview technique is you spend a lot of time trying to get digs in at me during the interview. So whenever I have to listen to them, I always have to keep my ears peeled for Rafa's kind of cheap shot that he'll throw in there at some point.
Clever but subtle is what I try to go for. You never really told me or the audience, I don't think, what Greek game you were doing, which really leads me to believe it wasn't of any real importance, right? Like, it wasn't a Olympiacos. It wasn't a Panathinaikos match.
No. It was more a mid-table Super League game. I was covering Panathinaikos against the mighty Panionios. So I'm not sure many people are clued up on that. Although I will say, Raf, you know how bad I am with these names of some of these players and whatnot. And you know, it can be very frustrating. And anybody that saw my Twitter feed last night will know that I was having to get my tongue around the name Stefanos. Okay, now I'm going to spell it out for you first, just so you understand how long this name is, right? Papoutsogiannopoulos.
Wow.
Which when you're trying to, you know, talk about a free flowing bit of football going forward, when it's, when you, I don't know, you talk about kind of Poi gives it to Bushkov, now plays it inside to Papoutsou Giannopoulos. You know, it's until you've got into the swing of it, it's not so bad now, but starting that game,
I meant to ask you, Juice, what is the protocol? Like, can you, I mean, like, you know, here in the States, especially, you know, you see on ESPN or you watch some Fox Sports these days, and they kind of start making nicknames. Ah, Pap goes and receives the ball. And what a shot from Pap. You know, but they kind of short it.
I would never do a nickname.
Yeah. You don't drop the nicknames on the international games.
I wouldn't say like Pap or anything. You know, if it's a commonly used nickname, like obviously like Chicharito or something like that, you know, you would.
Kun Aguero.
I'd just say Aguero. I'd never say Kun Aguero because it's longer. Surely the whole point is you shorten it to speed up rather than having the longer name.
You're not going to just straight drop Kun. That'd be kind of awkward, wouldn't it?
No, not at all. Yeah, no, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you do that. A lot of trouble. I have no plans in dropping that as a short version for Kun Aguero. Not in any way, shape, or form, no. So, yeah, we'll keep it. I try to keep it as PC as possible, which is generally very PC.
Sure.
You know.
Without being vanilla, you try to be vanilla.
No, yes? I like to be vanilla, but throw in my own little chocolate sprinkles.
Sure. I like that.
I like to do. You know, you've got to take the base. I always do the basics of commentary. You know, you do the names right, you discuss how the game's feeling, but then you throw in your chocolate sprinkles, your little bits of information on each player, such as, you know, former player of the club they're playing, goals record against the club they're playing, stuff like that. You know, that's the stuff that I really enjoy. That's why I really enjoyed, and I'm sorry to harp back on about it again, but I am still riding the buzz of the boxing from the weekend. But that's why I was really lucky to have had a chat with one of the fighters, one of the guys that works in the gym of one of the main fighters, and his kind of stable had there was a group of players, from that gym that were in the undercard fights and whatnot. And I was actually getting loads of information. Like, one of them retired after his kind of first loss in his career and then spent 2 years being a bin man on the streets of Cologne and then got the buzz back for boxing, started going to the gym and then signed with these guys again. So like, those kind of stories are always this interesting stuff to throw in every so often. As long as you put it in at the right time. I don't like it when people start, you know, if you've got a really good story for a player, don't just chuck it in at any old moment. Like, use it at the right time. Don't, like, you know, he's got the ball, nice bit of skill, oh, great bit of skill, great turn. It reminds me of the turn in his career when he did this or this. And it's like, oh, come on, mate. Like, put it in when there's a bit of a lull in the game or something like that. But yeah, it's having, as I say, having vanilla with your little chocolate sprinkles. I'm sure, you know, Richard would have completely understood that had we discussed his commentary technique when we were chatting earlier, I'm sure. To be honest, I'm still somebody that shouldn't be giving advice at this stage in my career. You know, Ref, like, we're the guys that we get on the show, far more talented than I am in terms of commentary career, and that's why they're out there at the big games covering the big Serie A action. And a nice bit of action as well over the weekend, including Roma finally breaking their drawing streak. It's not a losing streak, it's a drawing streak, isn't it, Raf? It's been comfy, but it's not been it's not been great for them.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think that this is we said it last week or the week before. This was a game that they kind of needed to use as a major bounce back for them. They have a couple. They have a really kind of tough group of games coming up, and it's not going to get easier for them to kind of keep up the pace. I think Juve are definitely finding their stride a little bit in Serie A, and they're going to be a tough leader to follow really at this point. So I really hope that this kind of gets them back on track. I don't expect them to go, you know, on insane, you know, 10 game winning streaks in the league again, but I would like to see a little bit more positive, you know, from Roma and moving forward in terms of results.
I would like to ask Raf why on the week that Fiorentina lose a big game, we don't have Giancarlo Rinaldi when the week that Fiorentina beat AC Milan, for instance, Giancarlo is the first person we get on in the week. You know, I find that very unfair myself. Not that I don't enjoy chatting to Richard Whittle, but Giancarlo seems to come on. You seem to book him when Fiorentina win. And actually, you know, I always have to listen to him going, oh, what a great performance. What a fantastic. You know,
it's so nice to see Fiorentina doing well again. And so I do try to get Giancarlo on whenever there's nice big news. And of course, Fiorentina beating Milan, it was just easy. I mean, that was a softball for me, really, as a producer.
It was just easy. Was that about Milan's performance against Fiorentina, or was that about booking Giancarlo? Either one.
But with Richard, him being a massive Roma fan, you know, and still after all these years of working, you know, in the game, he's a big Roma fan. He's a big Totti fan. I had to get him on. I love to see the positive kind of emotions come out of the fan sides of our correspondents.
Very much so, very much so. And Richard, pretty positive about the win this weekend. For the Champions League games tonight, Rafa, Galatasaray, as I say, taking on Juventus in a must-win game in Turkey for them, really. Do you think, obviously, well, I suppose it's not must-win. They can get a draw in, as long as Copenhagen lose, they're still through. But I mean, are we going to give any chance to Copenhagen to get a result against Madrid, a Madrid side that will be through and will probably have their foot off the gas slightly? Because if that result happens, then it throws a spanner in the works.
Sure. I don't think so. I'd like to think that Ancelotti gets his men up for this and just and keeps their, you know, their foot on the pedal, basically. Not let up on the gas. I'm not saying they're going to be cruising, you know, but they should beat this Copenhagen side. I don't care if they're traveling to inclement weather or not. It should be fine for Real Madrid. And you'd like to think that, as I said, I feel as though Juventus have been finding their stride. The depth at forward for them, for me, I mean, is incredible, especially considering the fact that Tevez and Llorente are just having such an incredible efficiency about them. I find them better, you know, a better strike partnership than, you know, Suarez, Sturridge at Liverpool at this point. I'm very impressed by Juventus.
Of course, it's better than Suarez, Sturridge, because Sturridge is out, injured.
Right.
You know, one half.
Somebody else with an S stepped up on 2 weekends ago. And the other, it was just kind of the new SNS, and it just didn't fit. Okay, it didn't fit. But you'd like to think that the cream rises to the top in this group, and Real Madrid, Juventus kind of just seal it off nicely. That's where I'm going. 1-2.
Wouldn't you kind of like it to be Mandzukic and Suarez at Liverpool, so you could have S and M? I mean, you know, you could have a lot of fun with these strike partnerships, and
you could just see the posters that would, you know, you've seen a lot of like zombie references about Suarez on posters and around stadiums. But the S&M, I mean, both home and away fans can just take that to a whole nother level.
Tonight, I do think. I do think Juventus will have the noughts about them to do it. They are in a great run of form at the moment in Serie A. And Galatasaray have been in real fits and spurts. I was really impressed with Galatasaray, obviously, last year in the Champions League.
Can I ask you a question, sir?
But I just wonder if maybe some of their older heads are starting to get a little bit more aged. And the changes, of course, of Fati going out and Mancini coming in. You know, maybe not ringing in the changes in the right way, possibly.
I meant to ask you: is there a bigger what's your biggest disappointment of the Champions League thus far? And we'll just stick with the teams playing today, A through D.
Shakhtar have been disappointing for me.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I know they lost a number of quality players last year, and it's a slightly different and very much reduced in quality Shakhtar Donetsk side. But they haven't been as all out attack as I remember them being last year, and they haven't been as so kind of gung ho. They've not been keeping the ball on the deck and playing that beautiful football that we saw last year and made them such an entertaining side to watch. So I think Shakhtar's been a real disappointment. You could point a finger at Sociedad as well. We were expecting a lot more. All of our Spanish journalists that we've had come on the show have kind of expected a lot more from Sociedad, and they've really withered in this Champions League, and just a 1 point at the moment in their group. And it'd be difficult with Leverkusen wanting to win to try and outdo Shakhtar and get into that second spot in Group A. I would find it hard to see Sociedad winning tonight, although pride is a big motivator at points, and if they're going to do it, it would be the right time to do it tonight to bag themselves their first 3 points of the Champions League this season. But aside from that, I mean, in these games coming up, what I've been disappointed in general with has been this set of groups. Kind of, you know, you get quite often this Champions League so far, tonight's kind of selection of games, I'm always see myself more looking towards the following night's selection of games, because we kind of had Chelsea against Basel, Chelsea against Schalke, Schalke-Basel in Group E. We've got obviously Group F, Marseille, Dortmund, Napoli, Arsenal, just total football wherever you look. Group G, Zenit, Atletico and Porto are always entertaining. And Group H, Celtic, Barca, Milan and Ajax. And actually, tomorrow night's games in general are the ones that I kind of find myself looking at and going, oh, God, yeah, I can't wait to sit and watch them tonight. Really can't wait to sit back and enjoy that football. Whereas, you know, to nights like this, I'm kind of more United, well, they're doing all right in the Champions League. Not entertaining, though, at the moment. Donetsk, disappointing. Sociedad, disappointing. Leverkusen, entertaining. Very much capitalised, I thought, on Dortmund this weekend and those problems at the back for Dortmund. I had a very brief Twitter convo with George Mateus about it, how Dortmund's basically are being killed by their problems in the back four injury-wise and not helping themselves this weekend at all with that loss to Leverkusen. But, you know, Real Madrid, Juventus, Galatasaray have been disappointing. Juve haven't been as exciting as they were last year, I don't think, and Madrid have been all-conquering in that group. Benfica, Olympiacos and Anderlecht have actually been reasonably impressed by Olympiacos, but it's still not that entertaining a group with PSG dominating it. And with City getting themselves sorted for once in the Champions League, you know, Bayern and City pretty much haven't given Pilsen or CSKA a real look in, and that group's dead, done and dusted already. So these sets of games in general haven't been the most thrilling, I think.
Right. Yeah, you have to give a little bit of credit, though, to Manchester City for trying to keeping there and thereabouts, keeping the opportunity, the door open for a possibility. Granted, they would have to score 3 goals against Bayern Munich. At Bayern Munich, it's
not going to happen. Though.
Yeah, well, look, it's a little bit of credit to them.
Anybody that saw Bayern, and it really is getting to a point now of you looking at this Bayern side, and aside from Madrid, I cannot see anybody beating them.
Sure.
I just can't. They have been seemingly unstoppable again. And they didn't start the season as, I don't know, as aggressively as we saw them last year, that's for sure. But you look at them now, I mean, the 7 they put past Werder Bremen was just unstoppable. I was watching the highlights of that game today. Just, they were incredible. There was no, Werder had no chances in any way, shape or form. Or if they did the highlights, they didn't have enough time to show any of Werder's chances because they were too busy showing Bayern's onslaught on that Bremen goal away from home. You know, even without Robben, you know, they've got one of the best players in the world at the moment, Ribery, in there. And that squad, as we've said time and time again over the last year or so, it's a horrible turn of phrase sometimes, but it does reek of talent. Does just reek of talent. So,
what's crazy is that they've organized that talent to be deadly efficient, as they should, of course. But I mean,
and it's impressive that they're handling rotation around as well. You know, they're you don't hear of people coming out of that Bayern squad and saying, "Oh, I'm not getting played. It's not fair." Everybody knows their role, knows the agenda, and knows that they'll get time at some point on the pitch. And as long as they do their job, Pep Guardiola will allow them to do that. That's one thing he did very well at Barca, really, is that he did rotate stuff around to keep the main figures and everybody else happy with the amount of game time. And if you're winning games, it doesn't really matter. If you're winning games and winning well, the players are going to be happy. So at the moment, it's dream street for Bayern.
Sure. When you're competing in 4 different competitions and succeeding in them all.
I was going to say, I'm probably going to win them. Yeah.
there's plenty of big games to kind of satisfy every you know, competitive ego on that bench, on that roster, really. I completely agree with you. It's a bit scary. Bit scary that Bayern side. Juice, I kind of want to get your opinion on this as well. Going into a little bit of Spanish football, a little bit of outside the your top two usually, but Atletico Madrid. I know I personally kind of discounted them completely at the beginning of the season. I feel like they constantly get picked apart, Juice, but they've not only managed to, you know, kind of stay up with the pack of Real Madrid, Barcelona, but they've managed to also, you know, keep up and push it a little bit. There's potential that they could be vying for the title this season in La Liga, and they've been fairly impressive in Champions League as well. Are you not fully impressed by this Atletico Madrid side that just won't go away?
Completely, but I'm more worried that they'll get, you know, picked apart in January by the transfers. Look, I think what's most impressive about Atletico is when you look at not just the points they're on and the fact they've only lost one and only drawn one and have 13 wins under their belt. You know, that's fantastic. And being level on points with Barca is, you know, incredible. But when you look at just 9 goals conceded, when you look at 40 goals scored, just 2 off Barca and just 4 off Real Madrid, two sides that are renowned for banging in the goals in La Liga. You know, they are keeping on level pace, not just on points, but on all the statistics as well. You know, they're not dominating possession in games. That's one thing I think that needs to be you need to look at and think, well, maybe a little bit more possession would be better for them. But at the same time, they're not conceding, so other teams having the ball, if they're not scoring, isn't really a problem.
Sure.
They're fantastic in terms of finishing, as I say. 7 clean sheets to their name this year. I mean, Courtois, if I was him, I wouldn't be even thinking about coming back to Chelsea at all. I'd be thinking, well, I want to get a permanent move here because this is where I'm playing my best football at the moment, and this is where I'm absolutely excelling in a side where there's no chance of, if I have a couple of bad games, I'm going to be losing my place. You know, he's already got the complete faith and trust of Diego Simeone, and they're building an incredible team around it, a decent back line around him, and an incredible team in general at the moment. As I say, you've got to look at, you know, is David Villa, as an older striker, going to be able to play at this level for, you know, a whole season? That has to be us. You know, you got Turan. Will he be off somewhere? Koke, will he be off somewhere? You know, there's still questions to be asked about the futures of some of these players. But at the moment, yes, Atletico extremely impressed. I don't think I wrote them off. But when people said that Simeone was basically, he felt that the key was to instill the right mentality into his team, I wasn't sure if that was all it was going to take. But at the moment, he went from the very beginning of this season to get his side to believe that they could compete with these two in Spain. And at the moment, he's done that. And not only that, but he's doing it in Europe as well. When you think about their Champions League exploits, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow on the show, when we look at Atletico Madrid and their preview, brief preview, I suppose, to the FC Porto game that they have this week. They have been near perfect in Champions League this year. You know, just a slip up against Zenit is the only points dropped at the moment. Porto, on the other hand, we were expecting to do extremely well in that group, you know, a veteran of Champions League football, and Zenit with the money that they've got. We thought that was going to be a very tough group, and Atletico have just walked through it, only conceding 3, again, defensively, very sure. And I think I'm extremely impressed by what they've been able to do this year. And I hope it does continue, because I think Spanish football needs it as well. It needs kind of an underdog to come good, so to speak, and to challenge those two big boys. I still think it's going to be Munich or Madrid winning the Champions League. But I think in La Liga, and I do hope that after the Christmas break, with the knockout stages coming up, and of course the league, obviously the strain of the league continuing, I hope this Atletico side that isn't the biggest, doesn't have the depth and quality in it that Barca and Madrid do, are able to continue and not get too tired and not get drained going into the latter part of the season. Because if they can, it's going to be a very exciting race at the moment, especially when you think about Messi being out, Madrid has started a little slowly at points and are starting to come good. It's very much, we could see in the next month or so, that table of those top three flipped around with Madrid on top, Barca down in third, and Atletico still hanging on the back of whoever's in first place in second. There's a lot to be played for in Spain, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops. Are you buying this love in at all that Ronaldo's come out and spoken about how great Bale is? Bale's mum has spoken about how great Ronaldo is and how useful and helpful Ronaldo's been in helping her boys settle in Spain and encouraging the move to Spain. I mean, it's all going very nicely at the moment, isn't it, for Carlo Ancelotti? Isco's been in a great little run of form at the moment in Spain, and Madrid in general are looking like they've started to turn this slightly, as I say, flat start to the season that they initially had. It's all starting to look very nice and pretty indeed for them. Are you buying the kind of love in here, Raf?
Kind of. I am, Juice. Yeah, for me, I'm thinking more in terms of business. And when I say that, I mean, you know, Ronnie can only benefit business-wise by being on a good team, by being surrounded by other stars, right? So he knows that really Bale isn't going to come close to where he is in terms of his career, his positioning right now in the history books of football, world football. I really think that he's kind of accepting this and just, you know, trying to maximize his own position, really, is what it comes down to. I think he's trying to maximize brand CR7 as much as he can by making sure that Bale is kind of reaching his potential, because the best Bale isn't going to match Ronaldo. I think that Bale's a great player.
Yeah, well, he's still got a lot more development to go anyway, and Bale's not at that level yet as Ronaldo. But what they do have is, at the moment, the team focuses around Ronaldo. It has done for the last 2-3 years now, blatantly. It's all about the ball going through Ronaldo and the team's play being based around him. But what they have now, as we've seen with Ronaldo out a few games ago, is that Bale can come in and replicate the same movement and the same style of play that Ronaldo has. It's not as high quality,
but he
can still replicate it well enough that Madrid don't seem to lose a beat when Ronaldo's not on the pitch now, because Bale is just as imposing to defenders. He's not as good, but he is as imposing to defenders with his pace and with his vicious strike from range and with his skills.
You have to think that if Ronnie can share some of this shouldered weight that he has, it's only going to make him that much better, that much fresher, you know, as the season, you know, continues. You know, when the knockout stages of the Champions League comes around, you don't think that, you know, he's probably taking his time with this injury, milking a little bit, kind of regenerating a little bit. I swear to you that he's probably thinking long term and trying to get the most out of this season. I seriously think he's got the eyes on the prize, man.
And you can see as well, Madrid have completely turned things around. If you look back since the end of October, that 2-1 loss to Barcelona, 5 games in La Liga since then, Raf. I don't know if you've got the stats in front of you, but have a guess about how many goals they've scored in their last 5 games.
Oh, geez. I'm going to say 22.
24 Ooh. Goals in the last 5 games. 7 against Sevilla, 3 against Rayo Vallecano, 5 against Sociedad, 5 against Almeria, and 4 against Valladolid on the weekend. I mean, they have gone into overdrive in Madrid, and it's going to see if they can maintain this form through the Christmas period. Of course, there will be the break from the 22nd to the 6th of January before La Liga gets back underway again. But they don't really face, apart from an away trip against Bilbao, there's nothing too testing that you'd expect them to stumble up with until you get to about the 2nd of March in their fixture list, when they play Atletico away from home. Now, obviously, Atletico beat them in the Bernabeu this year. They beat them in the Bernabeu in the Copa del Rey final last year. Be interesting to see if Madrid really have the guns out for that in March, especially with a reasonably comfy run going into that, an away trip against Valencia as well. But I think you'd still expect a Madrid side in form just before the Christmas break, and to be kind of finishing on a high going into that little off time period that that they will be having over Christmas. I do think this Madrid side is brewing up something very special. I don't want to say Ledesma just yet. I've said that they that this year is a likely year for them to do it, but I don't want to say that they're pinned on to do it just yet, because unfortunately there is a big red beast in Germany called Bayern Munich that are ready to stop them. Just finally, Raf, before we finish up for today, my good man, there's, you know, we always have all these kind of really witty stories and all that kind of rubbish that fly around the newspapers, but Roy Keane is back in a slanging match once again with Sir Alex Ferguson. There was discussion about this when Ferguson kind of had a bit of a pop at Keane in the book and whatnot. And Keane apparently has said that just because Ferguson says it doesn't make it the truth. Ryan Giggs apparently is not a great player. It's Keane says having a great career doesn't mean you're a great player. Giggs, of course, one of the most iconic players of this modern Manchester United era, arguably the most iconic player of this modern Manchester United era, was
players in world football, and he plays for Wales.
Do you think Giggs is as well known around the world?
Juice, I knew of Giggs before I was really into soccer. I mean, that's just how. I mean, yeah, absolutely. He's an
When I always think of United, you know, I think about the players that they brought in. So I'd think of like Rooney's, Van Persie's, Van Nistelrooy's, Cantona's, Peter Schmeichel,
he's the Cal Ripken of world soccer. That he, you know, Mr. Consistency. He's
never
been
got into like advertising and throwing himself about in the media or anything like that. Always was just on the football pitch. I always wondered how big Giggs's name was kind of worldwide. You know, were there kids in India that, you know, picked up a United shirt and knew exactly who Ryan Giggs was and stuff, or what? I wondered if how iconic he was as a player. I mean, obviously to football fans that know football in general and know obviously the history of Manchester United's recent boom, so to speak, under Ferguson since the late 80s. Yeah. You know, this is Giggs is one of those staple players since coming through in the 92 Youth Academy. That's always been kind of looked at as, you know, when he burst onto the scene, he was this mazy dribbler on the left wing. When he got older, he kind of became a more elder figure of the team and a real statesman for them and captained the side for ages. And now he's kind of, you know, he's Ryan Giggs. He's 40, but he can still kind of do a job, but he's probably not holding down the holding midfield role as well as a lot of Manchester United fans would like. And I've spoken about that at great length. Every time we talk about United, that comes up. There's no centre-backs and there's no holding midfielder. They haven't replaced Paul Scholes. And everybody keeps saying it and nothing gets done about it. And Gündoğan apparently is not going to be going to Manchester United, that's for sure. But Roy Keane, I mean, do you find it a bit much from Keane? I mean, he could be the next Sheffield Wednesday manager, which I'm kind of looking forward to be honest, if he is. He's the assistant coach for the Irish national team and obviously does his TV bit as well on ITV on Champions League nights. And he's been involved in a documentary about his war with Patrick Vieira, but he's also talking about his relationship with Ferguson, and it keeps flying about the press now. Are you really that bothered by Ferguson, who's retired, and Keane, who's now, you know, picking up managerial work and TV work, about them having a slanging match in public? Surely it should just be, you know, left behind doors, and don't start having a pop at somebody like Giggs, who you played with for ages, and in theory should be at least a mate or a colleague that you respect for what he's done in his career. And by coming out and like saying, "Oh, he's not a great player," it just seems a bit insulting, doesn't it?
If you can't respect Giggs as a player, just as a player, you don't have to call him a great player. If you don't respect Giggs as a player, I think it's being foolish. Now his off the field, you know, personality, character. Hey, now that's debatable. But
it's not to do with football, though. We're not here to talk about off the field personality.
Yeah. I know that's a touchy subject with you. No,
just because I don't want anybody knowing about my off the field personality.
Sure. I think it's entertainment is all it is. It's kind of just extra, you know,
drivel.
Frosting. Yeah, frosting on top of the cake. That's really Champions League today.
Fair play. It is Champions League tonight as we move into Group A, B, C and D, the final games in these groups. Raf, I want to know, who are your teams going through? Group A, Manchester United are already through. Is it Donetsk or Bayer Leverkusen that join them?
I'm saying Leverkusen on this one.
Leverkusen to get the win away against Sociedad, and Donetsk to stumble against United at home. You wouldn't bank on United getting points, though, would you?
I know.
Against Shakhtar. Real Madrid already through in Group B. Juventus, Galatasaray, or Copenhagen. It needs a bit of a goal difference miracle for Copenhagen and for Galatasaray. And Juventus need to stumble against Gala as well for it to all click into place. What happens?
Yeah, no. Like I said, Juventus go through. Cream rises to the top, my man.
Cream rising to the top. Group C, PSG are already through. Olympiacos or Benfica, both on 7 points tonight, and made all the more difficult for Benfica as they entertain PSG tonight. Olympiacos at home against Anderlecht. And Mitroglou, anybody, have a look at Mitroglou. A has become, you know, an insane threat for them up front. And B, look at Olympiacos this season. Conceded 4, scored like 40. I mean, we're talking Barca dominant style here. They're running away with the Greek league already, if you hadn't had a look at that. Check them out. Who's going through, Olympiacos or Benfica?
Olympiacos.
Fair play. We're jumping on the Mitroglou bandwagon. I might have to jump off straight away, Raf. And finally,
it's very possible that PSG could drop points against Benfica. It's very possible here, just because I could see them being a little bit distracted mentally, but and not by anything off the field, just by the fact that they're well through. I mean, they're, yeah. So, but I do think Olympiacos goes through.
And finally, Bayern and Man City are both through from Group D, but do City have a chance of getting a draw, getting a point against them at the Allianz tonight?
I would love to see them get at least a draw. That's all.
You reckon it's possible, or is that just what you hope for?
No, I do think it's possible, because you got to think that you know, like PSG, potentially there's a little bit of malaise in the Bayern Munich side, knowing that they're well through and that this game means not really nearly as much as it could mean to Manchester City and English football in general.
That are your Champions League fixtures coming up tonight. Enjoy the Champions League football. A big thanks today, of course, to you, Raf, as always, for finally rejoining me here on World Football Daily and letting me get back to throwing insults your way when we do the interviews. A big thanks, of course, to Richard Whittle for joining us here on World Football Daily. A big thanks to you guys, the listeners, as always. Show at worldfootballdaily.com and at W Football Daily, the best, quickest places to get in contact with us. Of course, the rant line 075310. No. That's my mobile number. 310-909-8483. That's the rant line. 310-909-8483. Let's forget the first half of my mobile number. And, of course, you can catch us on the Facebook page as well. We'll be back tomorrow with more Champions League football coming our way. Groups E, F, G, and H to be decided. And I tell you what, Group F is going to be a fantastic finale finish to that one. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Take care. Enjoy the football. We'll see you on Wednesday. Yeah.